You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
K-State Nation, once again, welcome back to another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State postcast, K-State football. Eddie Greer in the house for the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State sports. It is Monday. We're all recording on a Monday. Once again, October 16th. We are halfway through the month of October 16th, 2023. I'll bring on my co-host Alex in just a moment. It is Monday. Reaction to K-State's win over Texas Tech. Victory Monday continues here late as we're recording during the Cowboys-Chargers football, Monday Night Football tilt. Of course, you're new to the podcast. Welcome aboard to the show. If you're listening to this late tonight after the football game, or maybe it's your first listen or second listen, the Pro Project Podcast, you can find it free and available wherever y'all get y'all favorite K-State podcast. Now it's time to bring on my co-host. First off, though, I did not do immediate reaction because I was on the road out of town in Des Moines over the weekend, so I did not do an immediate reaction to this game. So, but we're going to tie it all together here in the next, 28 minutes or so here. So, Alex ain't out there in San Diego, California. Alex, what's going on tonight?
Not much, Eddie. It's a Monday. It is neither Monday, but it's a victory Monday. It is a victory Monday. So, I don't think that we predicted kind of the script for Saturday's game. So, we've obviously got a lot to dive into. You didn't have K-State winning by 17 on the road.
I picked against K-State to lose.
I don't know anybody who, if anyone who said that K-State was going to win by 17, I'd call you a liar. I'd call you a liar, Eddie. I picked them by 1 point, and I only picked them by one because Chris Klein's track record after losses seems to bounce back and have good performances. Well, lo and behold, there you go.
Yep, and K-State led by Avery Johnson, who would have scripted this up. Certainly not me, but K-State needed to get this win, and they did, drawing up an interesting scenario, Alex, going into this week in TCU. When TCU comes calling to Manhattan Saturday night, K-State 38, Texas Tech 21 in Lubbock, and apparently the deal was Chris Klein was going to play two quarterbacks. Here we go again, Will Howard and Avery Johnson. And I was in Des Moines over the weekend. I did watch the second half, the entire second half of this football game. So I was wondering, I was asking, texting people, what happened to Will Howard? And my friends got back, well, Avery's got the hot hand. And boy, did he ever. Avery Johnson tying former K-State quarterback and current offensive coordinator Colin Klein's 5 touchdowns. We'll get into that here on the other side, but I want to start with the defense. Alex there, they gave up 14 in the second quarter, then Texas Tech scored a touchdown in the third, and they held them scoreless in the fourth. And the thing is with the defense, Alex, for K-State is, going into this week, they needed to create more turnovers, and led by Kobe Salvage back, and of course, B.J. Penn, he got one pick. Kobe Salvage pretty much took over that second half of the game, but Austin Romaine had a big game himself there. What are your initial thoughts on the defense performance over the weekend?
Well, you nailed it, Eddie. You nailed it right on the head. I mean, look, in case they gave up 480 yards, I mean, that's more than I think they gave up against Oklahoma State. So they gave up yards, and Tech, you know, had, 23 first downs. You know, they threw for about 300 yards. They rushed over 180 yards. Like, they moved the football. There was no doubt about that. The difference, and really the reason K-State won this game, was because K-State was +3 in the turnover margin. And that is an area where K-State has just been horrible. They've been turning the ball over with the 7 interceptions that Will Howard had. So I think it was 7, 8. I can't remember what the number was. But throwing those interceptions, and the defense has not been forcing turnovers at all. So K-State has just not been getting they've just not been getting more drives to be able to try to make plays and be able to stop, be able to limit the number of drives from the opponent. So That was huge. That was huge being able to get the three turnovers. K-State definitely, that was a focal point for them. You could tell. They came out about they were really, really good in that area. And you mentioned Cody Savage. Cody Savage about had two. He had one that hit the ground, bounced on the ground. And then later on in that drive, later on that drive, ended up hitting that interception in the end zone. And then also, K-State could have had a fourth on the Jake Clifton play, where he forced a fumble. K-State picked it up, but they called Jake Clifton for targeting. And that wiped that out, and then Texas Tech went down, and they got a touchdown on that drive. So that could have been a fourth as well. You could have also argued that the hit that Clifton put on him was what forced a fumble. But with all of that said, K-State did a good job forcing turnovers, and really, I think that was a concentrated effort, Eddie. So that was the difference in the game. And you're right. We'll talk about Avery. We'll talk about the offense and stuff like that. But I mean, what was really the difference maker in this game? It was K-State getting three interceptions in this game. And again, you know, K-State, you know, allowed Texas Tech to make some big plays. They were also helped out by the fact that Aaron Morton got hurt and Jake Strong had to come in. Their third string quarterback.
A little bit of a break,
and he threw all three interceptions, the freshman. So that was a little bit of a break, but at the same time, K-State was still winning at halftime when Baron Morton was in there. And to Jake Strong's credit, he did throw for 173 yards in the second half. So he definitely was able to sling it around there. But, looking at the defense again, Austin Morgan was all over the field, 8 tackles, 6 solos. Marquis Siegel had a tackle for loss. He had a pass that was deflected. He was really active on defense. And then on Austin Romaine had a nice sack there too at a point in the game where he's actually playing through, I believe, a broken wrist right now. So K-State made some plays, no doubt about that. Also, I thought Texas Tech abandoned the run too soon with Taj Brooks. Taj Brooks is a beast, one of those running backs in the country. And he only had 17 rushes. And the 17 rushes that he had 98 yards and a touchdown. He was actually 6 yards carry. So I'm kind of surprised that Texas Tech really bailed from the run. I mean, I think K-State's defense would have been a little bit more trouble. So I think Texas Tech helped K-State out, Eddie, in a few areas. Moral of the story, K-State's defense, I still think, has a long way to go to get to where they probably want to be. But there's no doubt that this is a step in the right direction, based on what we saw in Stillwater last week. And really the biggest thing is they played with more energy, Eddie. They played with more effort. They seemed to seem faster on the field. And again, they were forcing turnovers, which was really the game changer.
Yeah. That was the also one of the bigger topics going in was K-State against Oklahoma State had no energy, lifeless on that football field. And that was a talk going into this little bit game. K-State with a big win over the weekend over Texas Tech to get them back on track at least, 38-21 against the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. Eddie Greer, Alex Lee for the Pro Marshall Podcast. That was the other thing that was brought up as well. The cry, battle cry, more energy, more motivation for this K-State team there as well. Austin Moore led K-State in tackles with 8. Kobe Savage, 7, and you mentioned Marquis Siegel was 6. Chicken Paris was active. He was banged up in an Oklahoma State game with 6 tackles as well. Keenan Garber, one of the other top tacklers, with 5 tackles in there as well. Yeah, Romaine, he was also playing with that club there as well. So interesting. Yeah, Texas Tech, they did abandon the run too early. I agree with you on that. Yeah, Tosh Brooks, 98 yards on 17 touches. Who did not ban from the run really was K-State's offense led by Avery Johnson. As I mentioned, I came in, settled into the second half of this game, and it was the Avery Johnson show, folks, from there. Apparently, K-State went with the hot hand, and this, I know going forward after this game, this is going to open up some floodgates, no question about it, with the quarterbacks. And we have talked on this podcast in the past, Alex, about the two about a two quarterback system. So this is going to be really, really interesting. But Avery Johnson, what a night. He had himself a night, took advantage of the opportunity, and they ran with it, literally. And I really like the combination of Avery Johnson and Treshawn Ward. Treshawn Ward really took over in this game as well. 118 yards on 15 touches as well. He and Avery Johnson seem to be really clicking in that backcourt. I'm thinking about basketball. Oh, gosh. In the backfield, Texas Tech didn't have an answer to stop him at all in this game. Alex, what are your initial thoughts after Avery Johnson's solid performance? Obviously, you know, Will Howard, we talked about the turnovers last week there, and Chris Klieman Asane. Well, in this game, we're going to stick with the hot hand in this one.
Yeah, and I think that was the right move to stick with the hot hand. And I'll say, you know, obviously what people want to discuss more than anything right now is the quarterback situation moving forward, which we'll get into. But starting off with the game itself, you mentioned it. I thought K-State started the right quarterback, Will Howard, going into this game. I didn't even think it was a debate, nor should it have been a debate, but I thought that there should be a package for Avery. I thought that K-State had underutilized Avery. And so they put the package in, and they ran with Avery, and the offense was kind of stagnant with Will. They ran with Avery, literally and figuratively, that offense, and it was working. And they kind of rolled with the hot hand, and Chris Klieman in the postgame really mentioned that Texas Tech was really kind of giving them some defensive looks that was allowing for the quarterback run game. They really weren't defending that quarterback run game with what they were doing defensively, and so he's, you know, that's what kind of made them decide, you know, we're going to keep running Avery out there and, you know, see if he can make plays. And so that was the right decision, and that was a good job by Coach Klieman to realize that and make him more a part of the game plan after what happened at Oklahoma State, where K-State clearly used him and they didn't put him in there. So again, I'm not gonna jump on Coach Klieman's back about that like a lot of people are about, oh, they're gonna beat Oklahoma State if they put Avery in. You know what? They got their tails whipped by Oklahoma State. I'm not going there with that, but he should have seen the field, and he did see the field against Texas Tech, and he was damn near historic. And he had five touchdowns. I mean, Ty Klein's record for most rushing touchdowns in a game, and he could have had six. But he had the last drive, the first down go down on. So first down go down. That would have been a touchdown. That would have been touchdown number six if Avery wanted it. But he did the right thing, obviously, and got the first down, and he went down. As Chris Klieman said, he said, we were about to have linebackers on defense. We couldn't go back on defense again. So they just wanted it in that game, and that was the right play there. But he was fantastic, and you mentioned one thing that I don't think people are talking about enough, because Avery's getting all the shine, as he should, and Avery was amazing in the game. Also, 8 of 9 passing. For 77 yards. Let's not gloss over that either, Eddie. You know, 8 for net pass and 77 yards. Had a really nice pass to Jace Brown. Yeah, look, he can throw the ball. So he was good all over the place. But what happened was K-State really got Texas Tech on their heels. And I thought Colin Klein did a really good job with some of his play calling. Some of the RPOs that he ran with Avery. He ran some kind of jet sweep motion type plays where you had guys going multiple directions. You didn't know if they keep it or if it would go to somebody else. That really kept the defense on their heels. So it had running lanes were open when Avery talked it. And then when Avery would hand the ball over off to Sean Ward or give it to somebody on a sweep, they would have to respect Avery's legs, and it opened stuff up for them. And so Colin Klein did a really good job with the play call, like keeping the defense on their toes with that. And I think that he did a really good job of catching Texas Tech when they were on their heels and using Treshawn Ward to really, you know, take advantage of it. They had to respect Avery. And when they had to respect Avery, and you get Treshawn Ward that speed that he has, because he's got that good, quick speed, he can do damage. And that's exactly what he's doing. And he had some juice. Like, he was running with some juice. DJ Giddens just didn't quite have that juice against against Texas Tech. Treshawn Ward did, and again, kudos to K-State because they rode the hot hand once they realized Treshawn Ward was the guy that was going. They rode him. And so I thought it was a really nice play calling from Conklin. I thought it was a good bounce back game from play calling perspective. And then also, I think that Tershawn Ward was able to open things up for Avery. Avery was able to open things up for Tershawn Ward. It was really a good 1-2 combo there for K-State. So that was something that was really, really impressive. Ben Sennett was good as always. You know, 6 receptions, 72 yards. Phillip Brooks, same thing. Good as always. Well, I shouldn't say good as always. He was not good at all at Oklahoma State. Bounced back and had a better game after a horrible game against Oklahoma State. 4 receptions, 47 yards. Outside of them, Eddie, there's nothing. And, you know, that remains a problem for K-State. They got to get the receiver thing out. Like, that's a problem. Like, that is an absolute problem. And then, again, they got to figure out, you know, behind Benson and Phil Brooks, you know, your leading receiver is Chase Brown, 1 reception for 21 yards. So, RJ Garcia was 1 reception for 8 yards. He wasn't even on the depth chart today. So, I don't know what K-State's going to do at receiver. But they need to figure that out. Jaden Jackson, again, 1 reception for 10 yards as well. They got to figure receiver out. It's going to be a problem. It will rear its head back up. It will rear its head back out if they don't. But in the meantime, they did a fantastic job of attacking Texas Tech with the run game and really exploiting
them. You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
K-State gets a big win over Texas Tech, 38-21 over the weekend in Lubbock, Texas. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. This is the Purple Project Podcast post-cast reaction. K-State's win there. Because K-State now moves to 4-2 overall, 2-1, in the Big 12, while the Red Raiders of Texas Tech, 3-4 overall, 2-2 now in conference play. Yeah, you mentioned it. I was going to touch on that quick there on that, Alex. There, Benson at 6 catches for 72 yards. Yeah. Wide receiver, I kind of talked about it last week and a little bit in my preview there as the wide receivers. Here we go again for probably the third year in a row on this very podcast. Receivers, very talented, but not producing on the field. And, yeah, you have to have another weapon or two other weapons out there other than your tight end. And obviously Phillip Brooks has been consistent. But, yeah, what happened to Jaden Jackson? I don't know. The last two weeks, like maybe 2 catches total. I know RJ Garcia. Only 2 catches there. Yeah, RJ Garcia, you mentioned it. Yeah, that's wasn't on the depth chart. Very interesting.
Yeah, man. He's clearly done with that. Clearly done with that for now.
Wow, because all the hype, RJ Garcia and Keegan Johnson, nothing for him. For Keegan Johnson, yeah. So I know 3 Moms talked about it, and we've talked about it here on this podcast. Yeah, they got to find something. They have to find somebody. Yeah, I saw that play where Chase Brown made that good catch. From Avery Johnson, there as well. So I want to see more Trey Spivey in there somehow.
100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. I want to see more Chase Brown and Trey Spivey. That's kind of what I'm chomping a bit for.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tre'Shaun Ward, the hot hand. Yeah, DJ Giddens, yeah, he looked kind of sluggish out there. He only had 55 yards on 12 touches, 53 net if you look at one of those being a 2-yard loss. So, yeah, Tre'Shaun Ward, yeah, I really like that combo in the backfield there as well. Again, those are going to be both interesting scenarios. And really going to add in the receiving episode as well. The offensive line probably played their best game of the year to this point, opening up holes for Avery and Tre'Shaun as well. So, very intriguing moving into this TCU game as TCU coming off of they beat the brakes out of BYU 44-11 in their game last week. Josh Hoover, quarterback for TCU, went over 400 yards in the game, 4 TDs, and he was picked off twice in the game. So now kind of switching gears a little bit here toward a TCU primetime game here in Manhattan, Kansas, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, at 6 Central Time. So, again, back to the quarterbacks, Alex. Got to circle it back because everybody's going to be talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Including us right now. But Will Howard, obviously, we need to touch on him real quick. Will Howard was 6-9 86 yards. He was sacked, and he had 8 yards on the ground. So really intriguing. And I thought Fitz had a good point there as well. You can really mess up the quarterback room if you pick the wrong guy and he goes out and sticks it up. But if you pick the right guy and he plays, then you're always going to ride him. But going back to my first point, if the guy you pick, whoever quarterback K-State picks, and does not play very well, this could really backfire. And here we are again playing the seesaw game of Will Howard with Avery Johnson. Yes, Derek Young had a tweet about several K-State fans are talking about, you know, we're going to need both of the quarterbacks. And yeah, you're going to need them. Yes, sir. But can you afford to go back and forth playing this game of cat and mouse with two core quarterbacks here? Eventually, you're going to have to ride the hot hand. You can't just come back to, and I'm not saying it'll happen, but again, you know, Avery Johnson, everyone has been clamoring for him, and he took advantage of it, clearly. Will Howard, he got you a Big 12 championship last year. He's your leader. He's your ringleader. So, man, Alex, I don't know, man. I have no call. I have no call on this one.
I'm right there with you. First, I'm kudos. I'm glad you brought up the line for the K-State Texas Tech Gandalf Supply. Did play one of their best games, so they definitely deserve a shout out. They got their swagger back. They finally took a picture on the road with no shirts on, which is what their trademark was last year on Twitter, posted by Cooper Beebe. But yeah, so kudos to them. Great job by them opening some holes up there for Petty State to the quarterback, which is what people really care about. I'm with you, dude. A lot of people are clamoring for Avery Johnson, right, to start. I think a lot of people are just assuming that that's what's going to happen. I think a lot of people are ready to pull pitchforks out of Will Howard is starting against TCU on Saturday night. And so, you know, it's a tricky situation because I have been a little slow to the party when it comes to the Avery stuff. I have 100% been on board with, hey, there should be packages for him. Hey,
yeah.
You know, they should play him more. I've been on board with all that, 100%. I don't trust a true freshman quarterback. For if K-State wants to do what they want to do, and this is no shot at Avery at all. No shot at all. But if K-State wants to compete for a Big 12 title, which is what they want to do, I don't think that will happen the way Texas and Oklahoma are playing. But if that is your goal, which should still be their goal, I don't think true freshman gets you there. I think Will Howard gives you a better shot. I really do. You mentioned it. He's experienced. He's been there. He's done that. He won you a Big 12 title up against Max Duggan, up against TCU, played the national championship. And I don't think that you can just erase all of that because he had two bad games. I wouldn't even call the game against Texas Tech a bad game. It was 6-for-9 for 86 yards. It just wasn't, and the offense just was sputtering. And so, people are just going to say, maybe I'm slow to the party. Maybe I am slow to the party. I don't know. I just think that if you pick Avery and you shoot Will Howard's confidence, you just gut his confidence, then you lose Will. And you run the risk of not having Will, right? Mm-hmm. And then when things go sideways with Avery, he starts going through some freshman struggles, just saying hypothetically, say this happens later in the year, then you're not going to get the best version of Will. And then you're not going to get the best version of Avery. And now you're not getting the best version of anybody. And that's not a recipe to, again, compete for a Big 12 title. Now, if they were to compete for a Big 12 championship, Eddie, this would be a different discussion. But that is what they want, and that is their goal. And they were crazy as a big second in the Big 12. And I think a lot of the Will Howard issues are not just Will Howard. We spoke about it, Eddie. That wide receiver core, let's just call it spade a spade, it sucks right now.
Okay? Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's really bad.
What did you expect him to do? The receivers are getting they're not open. They're not getting separation. Is Will placing the ball great? No. Is he making the best decisions? No, he's not. I agree 100%. But let's not act like the receivers are helping him. Let's not act like the offensive line's helping him. let's not act like he's getting any help, because he's getting no help at all. And he does not have Malik Mills. He does not have Cade Warner. He does not have an offensive line that was in, you know, it was in unison last year. He does not have Deuce Vaughn behind him. He doesn't have this. And again, Avery, that's great. It was great. What he did with one game was fantastic, Eddie. But there's just, again, Chris Kleiman very clear about it. You know, Texas Tech was not defending the quarterback run. They weren't doing it. What happens when you're going up against Texas, a big, fast defense on the road? I mean, you really think Avery can go in there and give you a chance to win that game more than Will Howard? Like, really? When that comes up? Like, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it for a second. So what I would do, if it were me, this is a tough call. Look, man, Chris Kleiman, that's why I paid the big bucks, because I don't want to make these decisions, man. I don't want to make these decisions at all. If it were me, I would start Will Howard, and I would have a package for Avery, the same way you had for Texas Tech. That's what I'd do against TCU. I would want to keep Will Howard's confidence high. He has earned the right to be the starter. And I, look, play it game to game, and take it week to week. I'm not saying say Will's our starter for the season. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying going in against TCU, see if Avery does it again. You know what I mean? Put Will in, start him, put a decent package in for Avery, run some stuff with him, see who has the hot hand, and figure it out and see what happens. That you can't. They're going to. I've heard a lot of people say, Eddie, they're going to need both to win. They're going to need both quarterbacks to win. They might. Yeah. Like, and maybe they do a two QB system, which I'm not personally a fan of, but maybe that's what they do. I don't know. But I think that you have got to figure this thing out, and I don't think just throwing Avery in as a starter is the answer right now. Again, if Avery goes at Eddie and has five more touchdowns against TCU, then maybe that makes things, you know, maybe that answers the question. Yeah. I just think people are a little quick to jump the gun to say, you know what, Avery's team, give him the hand of the baton and let's go. He's 18.
Yep. Interesting. It's going to be interesting for sure. We can talk about this more on next week's extended show. But quickly, Alex, TCU, who you got? What's your score?
Yeah, you know, I'm going into the year, I had K-State win this game at 31-30. Looking at it now, kind of the way that things are currently going, I'm going to pick K-State to win this game. I am. I think that it won't be quite as close as 31-30. I think I'm going to go 31-24. I think that K-State wins by about a touchdown. I think they're favored by 7.5. I think they win by about a touchdown. It's going to be a tough game. There's no doubt about it. I don't know who's going to start quarterback. No idea. But then K-State finds a way to win this game by a score. The crowd's going to be juiced. It's a Big 12 championship rematch. They find a way to win this game. And then if they find a way to win this game, then they have Houston coming home. And then if they can beat Houston, then that sets up a big game in Texas. So, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at right now. But I'm going to take K-State here by one score.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, big game. K-State has TCU on Saturday night. And then Houston will call them calling. No time yet has been set there for Houston. But all eyes will be on TCU Saturday night at 6. And all eyes will be on that quarterback situation coming up for Chris Kleiman and company there as well. For those of you who won't be at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, game will be on ESPN2. TCU 4-3, K-State 4-2. Boy, we'll see what happens then. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. I was in out there in San Diego, California, Pro Project Podcast postcast comes to a close. I'll be back next week for a full hour. So get ready for that. For now, trigger flag ass wave on another postcast. So this is the Pro Project Podcast, all things K-State. Appreciate y'all for listening to our episode postcast tonight. We will catch y'all here plenty of times this week as well. I'll get you caught up on the latest of K-State sports. Until tomorrow, we'll talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to y'all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!